Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. Dan is on hiatus this morning, so Glenn and I will be rocking it ourselves. But as always, first, we want to hear from Red Skelton. Red, tell us.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Lasswell was his name. Mr. Lasswell, he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it's stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools, too.
From the people to the leaders, not the leaders to the people. Now, NSA, if you'll be sure to get this straight to Barack Obama, it would be much appreciated. That's our problem, and it's a problem that's on both sides. It's not just a Democratic problem. We got a bunch of Republicans that don't get that as well. John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, and quite a few others as well. Some of those people that were on that stage. I want to welcome you this morning to Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. And Dan Wilson is AWOL this morning. I don't know what we're going to do with him. I just cannot believe he wouldn't show up for his own show on Saturday morning. I think he's getting me back for being AWOL for about 6 weeks during the middle of the move. But Dan is on his way to pick somebody up at the airport this morning. And I have to really give it to Dan. Dan held tight on this show for 6 weeks, doing it all by himself while I was gone, and did an absolute great job. And then last week, we had a surprise that was not so much of a surprise, but I was a little bit surprised. We welcomed Glenn Atkinson to the show as a guest host. See how you would do. And within about 20 minutes, I knew there was going to be no problem whatsoever. And we want to welcome Glenn as a new co-host here on this show. He'll probably be doing a whole lot more than I will be. I've gotten to a point where I got to back off just a little bit on some of the blog talk. My schedule is so hectic. And Saturdays is really the only day that certain things I can get a lot done. So we've been looking for some extra co-hosts on Tuesdays and for Thursday and for Saturdays, and Glenn stepped in at last week. And Glenn, I got to tell you, you rocked it. We always expect the first time you do this to really be sound a little bit nervous. It just, you know, it's just like a wedding. There's always got to be something that goes wrong. But you just absolutely rocked it. You and Dan had great chemistry together. You had great discussion. I popped in and out from Six Flags over Texas with my nieces, but was listening a lot to what was going on. And you guys just had great discussion. And I'm looking forward to the months ahead, listening to the discussion that you bring to the table. It was great. We got a lot to discuss this morning. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the debates. They were definitely different than what we're used to by a long shot. A lot of important things to say about that. A lot of things going on in the news. Hillary Clinton, boy, she's in a mess right now. They're looking at her for criminal charges. The woman could end up in jail instead of the White House. And the thing is we're pushing about a year and a half out from Barack Obama not being president anymore. We know our judicial system works slow. It's designed to do that on purpose. So it's a situation where by the time this all starts falling together, we could have a Republican in office, very well have a Republican in office. And Hillary Clinton could actually end up in federal prison for her email scandal. We'll talk a little bit about that. Got, of course, exciting things going on both sides of the Democratic primary and the Republican primary. I'll tell you, Bernie Sanders is sure stirring things up, as well as all the candidates on the Republican side. And so we'll have a great show. We're only going to go for an hour today. I got a whole lot to do today. My Aunt Kathy is coming next weekend to Texas. I am very excited about that. I am her favorite nephew. Just don't tell anybody I'm her only nephew. But she's coming, got a lot of things to do. So we're going to be cutting it a little bit short this morning, and then Dan Wilson will be back with us next week. Looking forward to that. Keep him in your prayers as he travels today. And so with that, Glenn, I want to bring you in for your opening remarks. My friend, you know, you're one of the I've got a handful of Facebook friends that I know in person, and you live not too far from me. We've met on a number of occasions. You've been going to church with me, and you've become a good friend, and appreciate you on this show. Looking forward to many, many episodes as we go on of some great discussion. So I'm going to bring you in for your opening remarks. Glenn Atkinson from the Dallas area as well. Florida is not represented this morning, and we're going to have a great time playing with that, aren't we, Glenn?
Oh, yes, yes. And you know what? I hope Dan's doing all right with his journey, picking up some folks at the airport. And I thank you very much for your kind words, Scott. You know, it's a blessing to be able to voice, you know, out to people and whatnot. to share your thoughts and whatnot, and get other people's too. You know, it's good to hear the feedback and whatnot from other people. And I really appreciate your friendship as well. You know, yes, my wife and I, Lisa, and I go to church with you and that on Sundays. Missed last week, but we'll be there this week. yes, it's really, really heating up with Hillary. And that's good. That's good because it's really hot in hell. And I think she's, you know, the first step to that, I think she's going to jail. And I think the stripes will look good on her.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Yeah, maybe we can paint the monitor for her.
Get her some blue and white stripes.
There you go.
Well, Glenn, did you get to watch the debates this week?
I got to watch the second one, but the first one I wasn't able to. Excuse me. I don't have cable where I'm at, and I didn't realize that that Fox would actually have it online until the first one I didn't see online, but the second one I actually went on their site and it actually showed. But so I had to watch by the time I got around to figuring it all out, I was able to watch the last half, and then I was able to watch the entirety on YouTube after, as far as the second one goes. But I couldn't find the first one for some reason.
Well, and I'll have to send you that. I haven't watched it either. I just watched clips, but I watched the reactions. And we'll talk a little bit about that first debate because it's really more what's the word I'm looking for? It's not so much about substance with that first debate. It was really about a situation that Carly Fiorina found herself in. And I use the phrase, Glenn, a lot. It's better to be a big fish in a little pond than a little fish in a big pond. And I'm going to tell you, it was a blessing for Carly Fiorina. And I love Carly. I supported her in her Senate run after she beat Chuck DeVore. I supported Chuck DeVore first because he was the true conservative. He's now a Texan instead of a Californian. So maybe it was good that he didn't win. But I supported Carly Fiorina in the general election. She ran for senator in California. And I like Carly. Man, she's got an incredible life story. And, man, she rocks the stage. And I'll tell you, Glenn, we needed some Newt Gingriches in this primary. And we've got two of them. We got Donald Trump, and we got Carly Fiorina. Carly Fiorina's got a little bit more finesse than Donald Trump does. But we need somebody who's willing to speak out and say it the way it is and attack. And Carly's good at that. I've got some huge issues with her experience. Because she literally destroyed Hewlett Packard. She was not a good CEO. In fact, if you Google Carly Fiorina CEO, you'll find her on just about every worst CEO list there is. But, man, I have to give it to her. She's great on stage. And she absolutely shined because she was at the little kids' table. Had she made it to that big table, we wouldn't be talking about Carly Fiorina right now. We'd be talking with her in lump with the others that did a great job. Anybody who knows me knows that I have got some real issues with Mike Huckabee and encouraging the Common Core creators to lie. That was blasphemy. And I've got a huge problem with him. But, man, he rocked that stage. He's good on stage. Ted Cruz, he's my senator. I love him dearly. I want him to stay a senator. but he rocks that stage. And Carly would have been rocking that stage in the middle of some other people that really rocked it. But by being at that little kid's table, she was able to really shine. And that is the big news that came out of that early debate. And nobody's talking about anybody else. They're only talking about Carly. And I'm here to say, Glenn, that it was a blessing in disguise for her to be seated at that little kid's table. And I think it gave her a jump shot over the top of a lot of people that were sitting at the big kid's table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I think she is it was a blessing to hear that. Like we were saying before, I didn't get a chance to watch what she done, but all the comments are pretty much bang on the same. And you know, I think like as you mentioned with Donald Trump and her, you know, they tell the truth. They voice it, and there's no trying to figure out what they're trying to say or whatever. With other ones, they're either, I don't know, either wishy-washy, flip-floppers, or skirt around the issues and whatever have you. But them two, although I guess Donald's a little more colorful, if you will. But Fiorona and him, at least what you get is you can expect everything is going to be honest, and whether people like it or not, I'll tell you one thing. You know, I'm from Canada originally, and even looking back into Reagan and everything like that, he was honest. He's an honest man. He was saying everything that he felt, and a lot of people didn't like it, but when he actually followed through on it, a lot of people started liking it and started understanding where he was coming from. Although he wasn't as colorful as Donald Trump or even Carly Fiorina and whatever, they do have Reagan-esque type qualities that this country needs now. They've needed it for years, but now they need it now. And they need Obama in jail with Hillary. Maybe they can be in the same cell. I don't know. That'd probably be better for the taxpayers. But anyways, I think that they need to. They need someone like that right now, because what this country needs now is people that will be honest and go through with what they said they're going to do. I realize Congress has some say in that. At the same time, it's easier to win over Congress when you know what you're doing. Obama doesn't know what he's doing. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. He does know what he's doing. He's trying to collapse this country is what he's trying to do. And he did. He was doing very well with it, with Hillary, too, and John Kerry's no better with them. So I know what their plan is. A lot of people don't believe that, but, you know, by your to know them, and that's, we're seeing exactly the end result of all this. So therefore, this country needs a Donald Trump, a Carly Fiorina type person, whether they become the president or not. The most important thing is two things. They're being honest, but they're also edging. They're upping the ante for everybody else to join in and actually, it's almost like they're a protector of everybody else that's feeling that, but they're not really wanting to say it. But they're forcing these other candidates to get with the program, if you will, is to actually, say it, do it, and just be honest about it, and back that up, because they're not going to have much of a choice, because they're seeing the polls, they're seeing what's going on with Donald Trump even after the debate, and everything. He's popular, and it's because he is speaking the truth, and same with Fiorina. So therefore, that's what's really moving this election is actually their honesty, and the people are sick and tired of dishonest politicians, and these two are not politicians, and so it wouldn't surprise me if one of them got in as the president. And as far as Ted Cruz, yeah, I love him as senator. I think he's doing some great things here in the short time he's been a senator. At the same time, would I like to see him as president? Any one of them up there would be better than what we've gotten in the last 7 years, 6 years, or whatever. But I think that even if he was vice president to someone up there, he would have. It would be a very well-rounded, presidency. It would be very good. They'd have one good 1-2 punch. So, I think it's possible, and we'll see. And as long as everything keeps going the way it's going, we're going to have a Republican president. I don't have any doubt about that, because I think the people are speaking, and once it gets closer to the to having. The debates with the nominee and everything like that, of course. But I think you're going to see it in the next few months, more and more people leaning Republican, not just Republican, but for the person themselves that's going to be, obviously being honest and whatever have you. They're seeing what has happened. And a lot of people, even before all this started with the debates and everything, we're starting to come over, some of the liberals, because they're really sick of Obama. So we're seeing it already, and I think it's just going to see a big, a critical mass of that happen. And I think it's going to, I really do believe, it's not just wishful thinking, I really do believe we are going to have a Republican. Which one? That remains to be seen, but I do believe it's going to be a Republican president.
Well, and I agree with you 100%. And you said it really, Glenn, just as good as any pundit could have on television. Donald Trump, love him or hate him, and I've got my issues with Donald Trump. I have my issues with his conservative credentials a little bit, although Ronald Reagan was a Democrat for a long time. But I'll tell you, Donald Trump has opened the gap of what it is okay to say, and he is. He's doing these two things, and you nailed both of them. He is turn himself into a bullseye. All the arrows are going forward towards him, and he is buffering the people and Carly as well, the other people up there on those stages from a lot of attacks, as well as he is making it. He is throwing political correctness flat out under the bus. Ted Cruz a couple of weeks ago called Mitch McConnell a liar from the Senate floor. And Donald Trump helped give Ted Cruz the room to be able to say that. He's giving them room to be able to throw better arrows, and at the same time, they are really doing some buffering. And I think that's incredible. I appreciate both Donald and Carly in the race, even though I don't support them. They're not my choices right now. Of course, I'm staying, Glenn, back from presidential elections for the most part. I'm going local. Brent Graves, District 59 here in Texas, taking Sid Miller's seat. But Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina, they are an incredible addition to this year's primary, and it would be a totally different primary without them. And we can go down the list, and we'll talk a little bit about each of the candidates that are in there. I do want to start with Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush got up on that stage and flat out lied like a child. He lied about his position on Common Core. He has been fully supportive of Common Core all along. He has been outspoken about Common Core. He is a big government liberal, just like his dad and his brother. And I don't like to call him a rhino because he's socially conservative and he's economically conservative. His record is great on that. But he is a big government liberal. He's a progressive when it comes to sovereignty issues. And he has been a supporter of Common Core. Number one, he got up there and he lied about it. Common Core, let me tell you, folks, the Huckabee, the Kasich, and the Bush supporters are running around spreading this lie, and it is the biggest lie being told this primary season. And this is it. They are saying that the governors created Common Core, but it was hijacked and turned into something else. And Huckabee's supporters especially, are since he's turned around and decided he's not for Common Core anymore, are using that all the time. And I'm telling you, folks, that is a lie. Anybody that knows me knows I've been dealing with Common Core now for 3 years solidly. I have advised candidates about Common Core and about how to put it out on the stump. Common Core was created by 24 people with no educational experience. There was not one governor that was involved in the creation of the Common Core. The Governors Association, which is a lobbying organization in Washington, D.C., was involved in it, but there is not one governor that helped create Common Core. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you want to defeat this lie, all you got to do is when they give that to you, you turn around and ask them, name a governor. Just name a governor. I did that last night, and I'll tell you, I got a response that I haven't got. I use that line a lot with people, and I generally get silence, Glenn. But I used that last night, and the lady says, well, I met two of them. And I said, but you haven't named them. And then she said, well, this conversation is over. And you know, I would rather see you stand behind Common Core, support it 100%, than to lie about your position. And so Jeb Bush got up on that stage. He lied through his teeth about his support for Common Core. He knows Common Core is a national standards. He knows it's not controlled by the states. He knows it's not controlled by local government. He lied about that, and he lied about how it was created. And I think that was shameful. There will be a post coming out this week on Joe for America about that. And then Mike Huckabee. I'll tell you, Mike Huckabee is running around trying to not talk about Common Core at all because he's in a mess. He supported Common Core just like Jeb Bush did for a long time. He has, over time, he realized that if he supported Common Core, he was not going to get anywhere in the election. He didn't realize the people that understand Common Core weren't going to support him anyways after his support, whether he flip-flopped or not. But Huckabee is the worst one on that stage. Now, Glenn, you and I are very familiar with politics. We know that there's a lot of lawyers in politics. And we expect a lawyer turned politician to lie. That's a part of the game. And I hate it. I think it's horrendous. But you expect that. Lawyers are taught to lie. So when a lawyer turned politician lies, it's one thing. When a gospel turned politician not only lies, but encourages others to lie, that is blasphemy. And And Mike Huckabee went to the creators of Common Core, not the governors, CCSS, the creators of Common Core, and he encouraged them to rebrand. He encouraged them to deceive the public and rebrand the product. And that is blasphemy. That is absolute, total. That is exactly the same thing that Satan did with Eve in the garden. Satan told Eve, oh, no, he rebranded it, and he lied about it. He changed the will of God. The will of God is not for you to lie about a problem. It's to fix it, maybe. It's all kinds of things. And Mike Huckabee got up on that stage and encouraged those people to rebrand. I couldn't support that man. If he wins that primary, which he's not going to, I'd really, really have to really have a hard time voting for that man, and I would, because I vote for my team in the general. But he is the one person, and I used to love Mike Huckabee, Glenn. He's a good speaker. He's incredible on the stage. He's got some conservative issues, and then he's got some moderate issues. He really is a big government liberal, as well as Jeb Bush, when it all comes down to it. You can look at his record. But that specific thing on Common Core, and Kasich's in the same boat. Kasich yep. isn't talking about Common Core either, but he is a supporter. And after the debate, I saw so many big government tendencies out of Kasich. I think he knocked himself down to the little table this week. I think he was the big loser along with Rand Paul. So I'll throw it back to you on Jeb and the Common Core and Huck and that discussion.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. You know. And a good example of or a contrast, I guess, if you will, at the same time, when you look at Mike Huckabee and all the things he's been promoted for Common Core with Jeb Bush and you know, I look at Scott Walker, and you know, and they asked him a question. I can't remember verbatim, but it was basically, you know, questioning him how he was a few years ago on issues, and then why, like, and now all of a sudden he's saying this, and he, you know, he changed his tune, I guess. And I love his answer. His answer was basically that, you know, after doing research and looking into things and seeing how it is, he changed his status of that, you know, the way he thinks of it and whatever. So therefore, he believes differently because he did more research and seen how it was playing out. And that's an honest answer, and we all change our minds throughout our lives and what have you. But he's not a flip flopper, and that's the difference. And at the same time, he defended himself at the same time by saying that, you know, that yeah, it's not that he's flip flopping or lying about anything. He changed his ways of thinking because he researched it. Why can't a Mike Huckabee or anyone else, if they're now saying they're not supporting Common Core, why can't they just say, you know, put it in the context that Scott Walker did and just say flat out, my bad, I realized later, whatever. But you know what? But the thing is they can't even actually say that because they were part of the ones that were trying to promote it. And they said at the time they researched it and they said that it was great and then blah, blah, blah. So therefore, they can't even use that. But the thing is if they're going to lie, the people, the voters and whatever, even the people that can't vote, like myself right now, I will be by then though. But we're fed up with it. We're flat out fed up with it, and that's where it comes back to a Donald Trump and Carly, where they're being honest. And I'm not seeing any flip flopping. I'm seeing that, yeah, Donald Trump, like you mentioned, was a Democrat, and so was Reagan and whatever have you. But he was asked that question too by, I think, Megyn Kelly, I think it was. I can't remember. I think it was her because she went right at him. But he's saying, why you were a Democrat and when did you become a Republican? Well, I think he had a great answer for that, that he, after, you know, being in New York and it being 90% liberal, Democrat, you know, he's seen the mess it's making and he's seen what Obama's doing. He's seen all this, and he's decided that, no, he wants to make America great again. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's a good answer. But with Mike Huckabee and Jeb Bush and, you know, the rest of them that are just flip-flopping, you don't know where they really stand. If you're just someone that's new looking at it and then you hear what they did before, you don't really know exactly because they're not being honest. They're flat-out lying. And like you said, you know, lawyers are you know, that's pretty much goes hand-in-hand with lawyers. I've only met a couple lawyers that I know are very, very honest. But these lawyers that I do know of are Christian lawyers. These are true, full-blooded Christian lawyers that don't sell their soul for their goal. Their goal is to get to heaven. You know, so therefore, what they do on earth, they're doing it the right way by being honest. Whether you like it or not, they're being honest. And that's what I think the people, I not think, I know the people are so fed up with others that are being lied to, and they turn into politicians, and they just mess everything up. And then they promise all these things just to get into office, and then they don't do it. So I believe that it's great to see this you know, molding the way it is and going the direction it is, because everybody's game has to come up. If not, they're going to be sinking, and they're going to go into the bottom tier, like you were saying. You know, I think there's going to be a few of them that's going to be changing here. So yes, I agree with you 100%, and that was, you know, you articulated that very well.
Well, and it is really interesting, and I love watching this stuff. I really do. In fact, I've been watching presidential primaries and elections since I was a teenager. I will never forget sitting there in 1984 watching the election returns for Ronald Reagan. I was, I think, 15 at the time. And every time he won a state, I'd get up and go out into my room to my kind of apolitical parents, and he got another state. My mom finally says, why don't you just wait till he wins and come out and tell us? But I've been watching these things for a long time, and I will say, Glenn, this is setting up on both sides to be one of the most fascinating presidential primaries ever, and we are watching this week. We're going to watch a lot of numbers flop. There were some people that did really, really good on stage. I think that Ted Cruz did what was expected. Ted's good. Ted is good on stage. He rocks the stage. It's kind of hard to really rock it when you're using little sound bites, but I think he did an excellent job. Like I said, man, I'm madder than a hornet at Mike Huckabee, but I'm honest. He really did shine, and I think he helped himself out a little bit on that. Marco Rubio, who I don't have a whole lot of problems with, I think he's I don't want to put another Barack Obama in there, and I don't think he's got a whole lot of experience. Executive-wise, I would love to see him as a vice presidential candidate. I'd really love to see him work his way up to maybe the governor of Florida first before he moves into the White House. But I think he really shines, so had some great things. I'll tell you, Scott Walker nailed it on Planned Parenthood and on abortion. And there's some people running around that saying that Scott Walker is squishy on abortion, and he's not. I'll tell you, one of the best tools we've got in the arsenal, the pro-life arsenal, is to make some of these places that do perform abortions meet up to hospital-level requirements. And I'll tell you why. It's closing them down. We have closed down a lot of abortion mills in the state of Texas because we made them stand up to certain requirements. And Scott Walker's living in a blue state. He's won three times in a blue state. He's not going to eliminate abortion in a blue state. But he did. He did sign some legislation that's put some severe limits on them, and people are throwing that out as he's not pro-life. But he's got an excellent pro-life record. You know, Glenn, while we've been running around for the last 5 weeks with these videos going out telling Boehner to defund Planned Parenthood, Scott Walker did that 4 years ago. Now, Scott Walker, I will say this, and he's my guy. He's been my guy since January. I haven't been actively supporting him really big. Like I say, I'm staying out on the fray of presidential politics. But Scott Walker is not the best on stage. I wish I could take and put Scott Walker and Ted Cruz together. To put Scott Walker's experience and record along with Ted Cruz's ability on stage to just rock it. And so I think Scott Walker did okay. I think he did about what I expected. I was hoping he was going to have a breakout moment, have some great lines that really got him some attention. But he, you know, he did okay. When we all got done with the debate, though, when you really looked at it, they all really had some pretty good breakout moments. I love Ben Carson. I've loved Ben Carson since the day that he smacked down Barack Obama at that prayer breakfast. I love his life story. I've watched his movie about five different times. You know, his mom, She made him turn the TV off and write every day. And he had an incredible story. I don't think he's presidential material, but I'm glad he's there. He had some great one-liners, too. I was not expecting Ben Carson to really do anything to up his ante, but he really did with that remark at the end of his closing remarks about the people in Washington, D.C. with half a brain. And his closing remarks really got him a lot of play. I was glad to see that. He did a great job, and they really did. It was a decent debate. There's a lot of discussion about Megyn Kelly, and I wasn't happy with Megyn Kelly, and I'm a big fan of hers. When those moderators go out there, I don't want them playing gotcha questions with the issues. I don't care if they're right or not. I don't want them playing. I don't want them doing that on the Democratic side either. I don't want them giving Hillary Clinton gotcha questions. I want them to be giving them pointed, hard questions about their policies. And Megyn Kelly really was the first one to poke Donald Trump in the eye. And I'm not talking about asking him to run third party. I thought that was a great question. It was the questions after that. And I really think she did a lot of damage to herself. There's a lot of people that are going, yeah, she did that right. Well, that's because they don't like Donald Trump. But she stuck her foot in it. And I don't want to see – I think she lowered the class of the debate by taking it into the war by women, which we all know is fake. We know Donald Trump he's an incredible employer. He is very well known for treating his employees correctly. In fact, he with his employees, it doesn't matter if you're the lowest on the roll of one of his casinos. You're the maid or you're the guy that picks up the garbage. When he walks up to you, he treats you like he's welcomed you into his office. And so he's got a good record of treating people good. He's got a mouth on him. We all know that. And I don't agree with everything he says all the time. I don't tend to speak that way. But he didn't deserve what he got from there. But he really, really kept the debate entertaining. I think they knew that was going to happen. They were expecting, Glenn, 6 million people to show up at that debate, and 24 million people watched it. And that, you know, we have records today on what watches TV. That does not include the people like you and I. I went back and watched it again on YouTube. You watched it on YouTube. That doesn't include all those people that watched it via social media. He brought that to the debate as well. But we're sitting at about the half an hour. We're sitting at about 40 minutes, Glenn. Already we've gone through all of this time. That's what happens when you're having so much fun. But we do want to throw out a couple of things here real quick in the middle of the show. We want to remind everybody Thursday to turn into Con Over You here on Contending for Truth Radio. We have a very, very special guest, and I am so ecstatic that we have secured this guest. Have to thank my good friend Rob Lowe, not the actor Rob Lowe, but a friend here in Dallas, who set us up with an interview with Donnie Most. If you remember Donnie Most, if you're younger, you might remember him from A Voice in Dungeons and Dragons, where he played Eric. If you're our age, like Glenn and I, you remember him as Ralph Mouth on Happy Days. And he's going to be here, and he's going to be up there really close to you, actually, Glenn. He's going to be up there in Plano performing. He is running around the country. And he is doing the singing the swing era music. Most people don't know Donnie Most got his start in music. In fact, he was singing professionally in his teenage years before he ever became an actor. And he's back to doing exactly what he loves. And he's singing the music of Bobby Darin and Frank Sinatra and Dean and Fitzgerald, putting his own spin on it, talking a little bit about his career. And he's going to be here in Plano, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro Metroplex on September 10th, and we're going to have him on Conover U on Thursday. Rodney and I are going to talk to him about his career and about his show. We're not going to really get into politics with him. We're going to leave that one out, but we're going to have a great discussion. I'm really looking forward to that. And we've got some other things going on Contending for Truth Radio. I want to remind everybody to show up on Tuesday for American Sovereignty Radio. Dan will be back with Jennifer and I, and then of course on Saturdays back. We've got some other things coming up. We've got a show we're working on for Mondays for Team Joe, as well as some other things. Also want to throw out that while I'm on here, the great Michael Loftus is over on the Don Smith Show, and we're going to have him on American Sovereignty here in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. So I wanted to get some of that, those things out of the way. We all oftentimes save that till the end of the hour, and I think sometimes people don't really hear it all. But that was an important announcement. Donnie Most this Thursday, I wanted to make sure we got that. So now we'll get back to politics, Glenn. And I want to throw it back to you for any other, we're getting towards the top of the hour already. Any other things else that you want to cover about that debate? Anything that stood out to you?
Well, I think we covered a lot of that. That's amazing, like you said, in like 40 minutes or 39 minutes or whatever, we've covered a lot of it, and it's great. It's like you said, I think it's I was totally I was smiling when I heard that 24 million people were watching it. I was like, wow, and they only expected 6 million. So that means that there is a lot of interest, and that kind of couples with what I was saying earlier about. I really do believe it's going to be Republican because more of the people are more and more interested in getting involved and voting. I think we're going to see a record, at least since Reagan, I think we're going to see a record for more voters showing up. And I think we're going to see it turn the tables to Republican votes because I really do believe that at first, Donald Trump is the one that really, I guess, was the magnet, the attraction. And now with Carly coming on a little more colorful and being honest, and where I think you're just going to see it rise even more for the next one, especially when we see them standing at the same podiums. You know, it'd be awesome at the same time. It'd be great. So I'm really, really tickled that happened, that they got 24 million viewers. And like you suggested, which is, can you imagine how much more that was on social media, you know, watching it and then re-watching it or watching on YouTube or whatnot? Like, I mean, that's back years ago, even when when Obama and Hillary and everybody was going at it for the 8 years ago, whatever it was, 7 years ago, the Twitter wasn't as and even Facebook wasn't as much didn't have as much involvement, if you will, with it at the time. So when you look at now, there's just so much more ways of being able to watch and be involved. So therefore the people are getting involved and they're interested and they're fed up with what we got. So you have all of that, and I just think this is going to be probably the best. Leading up to the nominee and then going, up against whoever. I don't think it's going to be Hillary. I think she's going to be she's finding herself in some very, very hot water. but I think it's going to be against someone over there or whatever, and maybe Bernie Sanders. I don't know. I don't like any of them, but I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing run. I really do, and I think there's a lot more people involved.
Well, I agree. We didn't even hardly get to touch the Democratic platform. I'll tell you, I like Bernie Sanders, although I disagree with on everything he says. I'll tell you why I like Bernie Sanders. He's honest. He tells you exactly where he stands. Barack Obama spent two election cycles lying about his positions, because if he had been honest about them, people wouldn't have elected him. But Bernie Sanders has declared himself a socialist decades ago. He declared himself a socialist back in the time of Benjamin Franklin, the man so old. But at least he's honest. And I think the Democratic Party should elect him. I would love to run against Bernie Sanders because he's going to be honest on that stage all the way through. And there is still only about 25% of the Democratic Party that really stands firm on socialistic party platform. And that makes up really about half of that, about 12, 13-14% of the nation really agrees with Bernie Sanders when you really start looking at the issues. And I think a Bernie Sanders win on the other side could absolutely throw the Democratic Party into tizzies for a decade, because he's going to come out and he's going to say it exactly what he believes. And then you've got the aspect of Bernie Sanders. You know, Glenn, he is conservative when it comes to Second Amendment issues. You want to talk about getting the left all riled up. Wait till they elect him as their general candidate, and he starts supporting the Second Amendment. And he's got an incredible record, actually, over the years. The one issue that I agree with Bernie Sanders on. But he sure has made it interesting. I guess the vice president is going to jump into the fray in September. That's going to be very telling. I said for a long time I didn't think Hillary was going to jump in because she doesn't like to lose. And if she couldn't see the writing on the wall that she was going to lose, she lost last time to a one-term, not even a full-term, senator from Chicago who nobody knew, who had no record, who voted absent most of the time, who had never worked a day in his life, a real job. She lost to him. So I don't. She's not a good campaigner. She's not good on the stump. The only reason really she won her Senate seat, it was a gimme seat up there in New York where there's five Democrats to every Republican. It was really an easy job for her to win that. I give her kudos. I'll tell you one thing I can say nice about Hillary Clinton. She is a very hard worker. She proved that in her Senate, and whether you agree with her or not on what she did while she was Secretary of State, she worked hard. So I have to give her that. But she's a lousy campaigner, and I am looking forward to possibly watching her just go down in flames on the other side. But we're rounding back up to the top of the hour, and Glenn, what I want to end with, I want you to tell us about your weekend coming up this next weekend. Most of you don't know yet. You might because you were listening last week. Glenn has been trying to legally immigrate into the United States for 9 years now. And he has faced every roadblock there is. He's been imprisoned. His story is incredible. He is the poster boy for trying to do it correctly and has got nothing but grief, while we've got people jumping the fence on the south border, and they're handing them everything we've got in the kitchen sink. And you are going to be on a TV show here this next week, so I want you to take the rest of and talk about that a little bit. Tell us about your appearance. You're heading out to this great state of California this weekend. It's next week.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Scott. And yes, I for a little over 9 years now, I've had some issues with immigration and trying to do it the right way. And I just don't give up. I'm here for God and to help this country, and so I'm not doing it for myself because I would have been easy just to go back to Canada and just carry on with what I was doing. But anyone knows that, you got to keep moving on. You got to be persistent and whatnot. So, anyways, I've been invited to San Diego, California. I sent my story to a producer of an up and coming, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening know of this person now. She's just went viral 2 weeks ago yesterday with her final thoughts. And who she is Tommy Lahren from On Point. It's a TV show that's it's a new network and whatnot, and they're getting great reviews. They've been asked to come on Fox and other stations and whatever have you, radio and whatnot, and she's just amazing. She's 22 years old. But I'll tell you, she's got a lot of experience for a 22-year-old. I think I heard on the radio Tuesday she should be turning 23. Anyhow, they've invited me. They read the story that you wrote, Scott, which again I thank you for. And they sent me an email, and then they called me and verbally said, "Yeah, we're all very much interested." And Tommy Lahren is the one. She's the host, but she's also the one that. They give her full reign, free reign of everything. She has the final say, and she basically wants me on her show. And they asked me, and we tried to figure out the last 2 weeks of when I could get there and when get it all happening and whatnot. So, anyways, I'll be leaving here on Friday morning to get there for 2 p.m. where they'll be having a show with me on it, and I'll have like about a 10-minute or so segment. And so I'm just blessed. I'm excited. I just it's been 9 years waiting to be able to get on TV to be able to show this story or tell this story to people. And I need help. I really need help from people, which is really ironic. When I came here July of 2009 to actually before the2006, and it was before the recession happened. I came here knowing what was about to happen. I could see it happening. I wanted to help this country with jobs. I'm an entrepreneur and have very innovative ideas which not many know about. God's protected them too, which is amazing. For 10 years now I've had these ideas, and in order for me to be able to do that, I had to come here. And because it's a, 300 million people or more than 300 million people, and up in Canada, great country and everything, but the resources aren't the same. We have 36 million people, so I need to bring it here like most people like to, but I wanted to do it the right way. And I've been doing it the right way the whole 9 years, but I've been getting treated wrong. And the story needs to get out because I need to have my legal status. I'm in legal limbo, and I need help. I need Congress. I need, and this is the perfect time with Donald Trump bringing the illegal alien issue up to a plateau. I'm the contrast of that. I'm doing everything legal, and I'm getting run around, being in prison twice, being detained 6 times at the border, just different stuff that's happening between, almost dying many, many times while in the custody of DHS and whatnot, ICE, if you will. There's just so much to it, and I really need my story to get out because I know there's other people out there that have the same, or maybe not the same, maybe worse, maybe not as bad, but the problem is that it needs to be out there for people to come out of the woodwork, and kind of like a Donald Trump, where they need someone to speak the truth and tell what's going on in order for to have other people kind of come out of the shadows and therefore not feel so uncomfortable or threatened by the government, because I fear God, not any man or any woman or anybody, anything. So therefore, that hopefully will be a stepping point or a platform for people to come out, and I can help them with my own story, and they can get theirs out, and maybe we can prevent this from happening to anybody else. That's my goal. So the TV show will obviously bring that. It'll bring that to happen. I really believe it will. It'll be a big jump in getting this done, and then maybe I can get lawyers to help me do this. Get this my documents done properly, because I am legal. I'm in legal limbo. They've admitted everything, even in court. I have audio and everything to prove everything that I'm saying. However, they have not took acknowledgement enough to correct it. So any kind of I guess exposure, if you will, to getting this story out and helping my situation so I can resume what I came here to do, and that is help America with jobs, or at least, give them opportunities, people opportunities to have the job and whatnot, and do it the right way. If I can get that exposure, then it's going to help a lot of people. But unfortunately, it has to help me first in order to help you. So that's where we're at, and I'm just really blessed and excited to go on that show next Friday. I don't know when it's airing. I think it's going to be airing that night. I think that's how they do it. But I'll have to find out for sure about the details and maybe get some kind of a page up, like you were suggesting earlier, Scott, one-on-one with me, about getting some kind of page up to invite people to it. So when I get that all figured out, we'll do that.
Well, and excellent. And Glenn, it's so important. We take a lot of flaming arrows on the right because we're accused of not liking immigrants. And that is the biggest line of malarkey. This country was built on immigrants. We're all proud of the Statue of Liberty. We're all proud of Ellis Island. Millions of immigrants came through that island. And the end of that poem on the Statue of Liberty has the word door. And you and I, you're an immigrant. You and I love immigrants. You and I both hate illegal immigrants. We want you to come through the door, not climb through the window. And your story helps us to get that word out, as well as the insanity of what's going on in our immigration right now. But it also helps get the word out that we're not against immigrants. I would love to take in every single Mexican in the whole country of Mexico if we could. If they come through illegally, it's a horrific place to live down there. They've got all kinds of problems. I'd love to welcome in everybody. Glenn, I'd love to welcome in everybody into my home. I would love to have 40 people living in my home because I like people around, and I like to take people in. But, you know, you get to a certain point, you get yourself into a mess. If you had 40 people in this house, as big as it is, we'd be in a mess. And we love immigration. We love Canadian immigrants. We love Mexican immigrants. I love Grenada and Trinidad immigrants, where I worked for many years. I love immigrants from countries where they're mistreated. I love Cuban immigrants. You want to talk about a great immigration policy? I love the Cuban immigration policy. If you're willing to swim 90 miles of shark-infested waters and reach the dirt of the state of Florida, you could stay. Now, that's my kind of immigration policy. And I love our Cuban immigrants down in Florida. But it's got to be done within the law. And the law says that Cuban immigrant, if they hit that dirt, they can stay. That's the law. That's great. But your story, you have been the poster child of trying to do it right. And doing it right, you've hit every hurdle in the whole wide world, including being put in jail. And so I am so glad that your story is getting out. Glad to help you with that. I'm glad that they got to read my article. That makes me feel good. And we're going to continue to push this, Glenn. We're going to continue to push that story straight up. And of course, we're going to talk about it a lot here on Saturdays on Blog Talk Radio. As well as the other things that we do. And I wish you the safest of travels back to my old stomping grounds. I used to live in San Diego, lived out in La Jolla and lived out in Santee for a while. Love that town. Weather's beautiful in San Diego. You just can't beat it. But that's going to be a very good trip for you. And coming over here to look at the studio, that's what I kind of thought. We got about 3 minutes left. So we want to tell everybody thank you. I'm going to pass it over to you, Glenn, for any closing remarks, and then we'll go ahead and close out the show.
Well, thank you very much, Scott, and everybody else that's listening. I really appreciate your help with everything, Scott. And yes, I'm very glad that I was able to get them to read your story. There's been other people, many other people, that have done some stories on me and whatnot, my situation, and been on many radio shows and basically exposed my story, which I'm so grateful for everyone. And it's good to see it go one step further, being on TV, because now there'll be a video to share with other people, and I'm sure I'm going to get through their contact, I'm sure I'm going to get other like say Fox or other TV stations that'll want me to come on their show. I would love to have be invited to be invited to go on Fox. That would be an amazing jump. And I think this is what's going to happen. I really do believe it. They have the contact with them, like I said. So all I can do is pray, and that's what I've been doing ever since I've been here, is praying since day one, actually. Well, before that, for this situation. So I really appreciate everything you've done for me, Scott, and my wife Lisa and I. And we look forward to years and years of working together on different issues and different things like we do right now.
Well, and exactly. And looking forward, Glenn, to talking with you each week on this show. I can't say it enough. I really do. I always figure the first show people do, there's got to be room for getting used to this. It's not an easy thing to get on the air and talk. But you shined from the very first moment, and we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to Dan Wilson being back with us next week on Contending for Truth Radio here on Saturday Symposium, and we will be talking with him Tuesday night. And we've got some guests that we're starting to really get lined up. And we're this next Tuesday night, we are going to have Sharon Ford, and she is the director of the Presidential Convention going on in Tennessee for the National Federation of Republicans. And if you don't know about that group, that is the oldest grassroots organization. They've been around 30s. They were really the organization that helped bring us Ronald Reagan. And there's some interesting things going on. Donald Trump and Rick Santorum, the only two wanting to show up to that and showing that they don't have the understanding of the power of the grassroots, quite like David Brat did when he beat Eric Cantor using the grassroots. So we're going to have Sharon Ford on Tuesday night on American Sovereignty. Looking forward to talking to her about the organization, about the history of it, as well as this presidential forum that they're holding in Tennessee and Nashville in a couple of weeks. So with that, you know, Glenn, Dan and I do a lot of banter on here, and I'm so glad you're here with us because I got some help now on the Texas side. You know, Dan and I and Glenn, we live in really in the two best states in the country. Florida's got a lot of reasons, just like Texas, for being such a great state. But Dan and I have this little banter that goes back and forth. And he says Florida's number one. I say Texas is number one, and now I got some help from Glenn Atkinson on Texas being number one. And we always come to the end of the show, and Dan just knows that I'm going to play something interesting like Eddie Arnold singing the Cattle Call. Till next week.